I'm Christina.
And this is Erin.
And you're listening to
Something to Wag About.
I love dog-to-dog resource guarding. Like, I think it's fun. Like, I love it. I mean, I feel for people who are dealing with it, but I find it very interesting to work with.
I find it really fun too. I really like working with resource guarding in general. I don't necessarily like living with it, but I love training it. It's really fun and really rewarding to train because there's so much we can do.
Yeah.
And so part of why Erin and I are talking about resource guarding is I had just mentioned that I would like to talk about introducing a new puppy, bringing a new puppy home, or a dog for that matter, when you already have a dog in the home that is reactive. And I mentioned one of my clients that has an adult dog who resource guards toys, people, spaces, the house from other dogs, but they really wanted to bring home a second dog. And just because we have a special needs dog or a dog that's not super social or has some social issues, it doesn't mean that if we're diligent and smart that we can't bring home a puppy.
Exactly. Yeah. You and I both have experience with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think when we have, especially people with sport dogs, they tend to have big feelings and they tend not to be the easygoing retriever types. Not that all retrievers are easygoing, but they tend to have bigger feelings about things, which can result in some conflict around resources.
Yeah, definitely. So when you're working with a client and that client hopefully comes to you before they've brought the puppy home, what are, that's the ideal world. It doesn't always happen, but ideally they come to us before the puppy has come home. What are some steps we can take before the puppy actually comes to the house?
Oh, so many things. So for instance, I was just at a house today with a 12-year-old dog who's reactive and they want to bring home a puppy. Part of it is that they have another dog that's even older, and the 12-year-old has separation anxiety, but he's okay if they have another dog. So they're a little worried about his welfare if the older dog passes on. So they would like to have another dog in the house just so that his welfare is going to be okay down the road, but it's going to take some time to integrate them. So the things that we're doing with him and the things that we can do with most dogs is we want to set them up in the house like it will look when the puppy arrives. So we put all the things in place that will be there for the puppy before the actual puppy arrives. So we're going to put up some barriers and some X pens and some gates. Many of these dogs are only dogs and they're used to having free run of the house, whichever bed they want, whichever couch they want, you know, come to the bathroom with you. If you go to this room, they come with you. If there's a toy on the floor, it's for them. So we can introduce them to the concept that sometimes there are barriers up and you can't go over there even if your people are over there. Sometimes there are toys on the floor, chews on the floor, or food around that's not for you. So we can put all those things in place just like we actually have a puppy before the puppy comes over. And we can teach the dog that those things aren't actually so bad after all, just part of life. And that can take a lot of the stress away when the puppy comes home. That goes for actually bringing home a human puppy too. If you're expecting a baby, we want to put all that stuff up again before the baby comes home.
Yeah, and it's really important because, you know, some people might not even think about the fact that, oh, hey, we're bringing home a new puppy and hey, they're going to need separate areas, because that is a really important, even if I didn't have a reactive dog, honestly, where I don't just bring home a puppy and plop it down in my house with another dog. It's not generally my go-to. So realizing that there is going to be some separate areas and introducing your dog to that well before the puppy comes home is definitely very important to do to minimize the stress for your dog. A thing I like to make sure, especially if there's any resource guarding. So if resource guarding is part of the issues that my current dog has and I'm bringing in another puppy, I want to make sure that my dog already has some skills that are going to be helpful in terms of teaching my dog how to work around another dog in the house, which might also want those resources. Main thing I do, like I really want to make sure I can redirect my dog if needed, because even if my puppy's in a separate space, and I certainly can put up double barriers, I can have a couple things in place to make sure that there's space between the two dogs, but I want to be able to redirect my dog if needed. So some sort of move away skill. So for me, that is teaching my dogs to go into a station. That's something that's really important for me, for my dogs to have. And if there's any sort of reactivity that's going to be in the house, to be able to send my dog to a space so that they can move away from the puppy is something that I like to make sure dogs have before bringing a dog into the house. Now, I could just have a good recall on my dog. I'm good with that too, but it's really helpful if they have some sort of stationing behavior or even just moving into a separate space. You want to make sure you can call your dog away in some form. That's a really long way of saying that, but yes.
Yes. One of the skills that's really important for dogs to have in a multi-dog home, especially if there's resource guarding or reactivity, is move away behavior. So a send to bed, a jump on the couch, a come to me, some way of moving the dog verbally is very, very important.
Yeah.
The problem that I come up with is that although I've been very lucky lately, often I don't get any calls for help from people until they've already had puppy and adult dog in the same space and it's not going well. And the animals now have some negative emotions around each other and some bad experiences around each other. So if you know you're getting a new puppy, you know you're getting a new dog, it's much better for the dogs if we can set them up ahead of time and do very strategic interactions, very strategic introductions, so that we don't end up trying to fix a damaged relationship. Rather, we take our time and build up a positive one.
Yes. Unfortunately, we tend to be more of a reactive society than a proactive. But definitely, if you're listening and you have a dog that has big feelings about something, it can be hard. It definitely is going to take a lot longer to fix a bit of a strained relationship than if we just start being strategic about it right from the get-go. Yeah. So that's kind of the biggest piece of advice we can give is get help before the puppy comes home. If you don't know how to do it, get help first before the puppy comes home.
And I did just have a client and they've had the puppy for 3 weeks, I want to say now, 2 to 3 weeks. He's 11 weeks old. And they just kept the dogs totally separate, like not even seeing each other. One's in a bedroom, one's in the car, one's in the backyard. And they managed that way because when they brought the puppy home, they realized that this might not go so well. And they're really worried about creating bad emotional responses between the two dogs to begin with. So they called me out. And while I was there, we did the intros through a double barrier. And it went really well, super, super well. And their adult dog already has a bunch of skills, so we could send her to a bed and do some stationing things, and then we could do take your turn stuff. So puppy gets a treat, dog gets a treat, puppy gets a treat, dog gets a treat. And the puppy actually had some decent stationing skills already too. It was amazing. So it's really cool. And I do get, on occasion, people that call me, like the family today, wonderful people. And they want what's best for their dog and they want him to be okay for the rest of his life. And they want him to be more than okay. They want him to be happy and thriving. So they want to take their time. One of the other things I like to do is do scent exchanges. So dogs are social creatures. Even dogs who aren't really keen on other dogs are interested in other dogs for the most part. If you have friends with dogs, and it doesn't even matter how poorly behaved those dogs are, you give all your friends a towel or three, ask them to put them on their dog's beds for a few days, and then you bring those towels home, you put them in a big plastic bag and tie it shut so it keeps its odor. And a few times a week, bring that towel out as an enrichment activity for your dog. And letting your dog smell another dog in their house helps desensitize them to that part. And it helps. It's a great enrichment activity for most dogs.
I like that you mentioned that, because even if you think you have a social dog, and you may very well have a social dog, they leave the house and they have a lot of dog friends. They like meeting up dogs on trails and they can say a nice hello and move along. New dog in the house is completely different. And they could be completely fine. Some dogs are just lovely and they love everybody and they can come in the house. But if you've never had another dog in your house, using that as a way to desensitize, and you also kind of get a bit of an idea as to how weirded out they are by the smell and how fickle they are on it, about the smell of this other dog in their house. It's a really good way to desensitize and kind of suss out what might be happening a little bit when you bring a dog into the house, if they've never had that experience before.
And that's interesting that you mentioned that, actually, because our dogs are best friends, your dogs and my dogs. And so I have two bitches, Max and Jubilee, and Aaron has Vilya, best friends out and about. Well, Jubilee and Vilya. In the house, Jubilee's pretty sure Vilya should go die in a fire. And Vilya thinks that Max is really weird and should probably be taken out as well. So, yeah. Outside, totally fine. Not a care in the world. I don't worry about them at all. Long hikes, whatever, playing together. In the house. That's what we gotta watch. Another way to help our dogs meet their social needs is to take them somewhere like outside of an empty dog park or somewhere where a lot of people walk their dogs but go in a quiet time and just let your dog sniff all the other dog pee. Like, it is absolutely a wonderful thing for them to be able to do. And when they have that social need of sniffing other dogs' pee, I know us humans think it's kind of gross. I don't want to sniff anyone's pee. but dogs are dogs, and that's really important to them. And giving them that opportunity then just takes the intensity down when there's an actual dog there, because they've already had lots of opportunities to sniff. So it makes the desire to sniff the behind of that actual live dog a little bit less important to our reactive dog.
I love that. It's interesting you mentioned that. I've always encouraged sniffing because it's a natural dog behavior and it's mentally enriching for all the reasons you said. I never thought of it as a tool to help detensify. Is that a word? Detensify.
De-intensify? De-escalate?
the idea of another dog being in the house.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not suggesting you let other dogs pee in your house. that's an outside activity.
Well, I mean, if a puppy's coming in, it might happen, but no.
Yeah,
not,
probably.
Not generally. But yeah, no, just the idea of not necessarily needing to go up and sniff every butt because they've had that need met by getting to sniff all the pee mail and everything on walks. That's cool. Yeah.
The other thing to consider is that puppies are vulnerable. Not only are they physically vulnerable, they're emotionally vulnerable. So we don't really want our reactive dog having big explosions around the puppy, because that could really dramatically affect the puppy's development and not in a good way. So what I also recommend people do, and I try to play matchmaker a bit with people who live in the same area. The problem is that most of my clients do have reactive dogs, but I do actually know quite a few stable dogs as well. And I would like to do parallel walks with dogs where we practice not engaging with each other. So that's a skill for a reactive dog to learn, that we can actually go for a walk near a dog with a dog without actually interacting. And if they're comfortable there, we can move up to interacting and sniffing a butt or sniffing the same tree, that kind of thing. But if I know this family is bringing a puppy home, I'm going to try to get that dog out practicing that behavior with as many stable dogs, adult dogs, as I can, And then if that goes really well, we might actually start bringing those dogs into the house, into the puppy zones, and practicing having those dogs in the house as well. But if my reactive dog isn't at a stage where he can do that, I won't bring a puppy home.
Yeah.
I want to make sure that needs to be in place so that we can do that, because the puppy's welfare does matter as well. And we need our reactive dog to be at a place where we can integrate them in a way that's not going to cause permanent kind of emotional trauma to our puppy.
Yeah.
Because then you're going to have two reactive dogs.
Yeah, well, exactly. And I mean, kind of thinking on that too, definitely choosing the right puppy. I can say if you already have a reactive dog in the house, you're going to want to be a little more careful about the nature of the puppy that you select. Trying to stack odds in our favor that they might be a little more resilient. Because, you know, we do our best, but there is still going to be some reactions that happen. But along with that too, even right now, Thorin, so my adolescent, he is going through some adolescent stages and everything. And my other girl, Vilya, who is reactive to dogs and can be quite reactive when she's on leash to dogs, at times if they get too close, I'm very intentionally not walking them together. If I am walking them together, I'm walking them somewhere where I'm not going to see dogs. And when they're first young, so when I first bring a puppy home, when I first brought Thorin home, I didn't do a ton of walks with my reactive dog. And the ones that I did, because I did want them to kind of learn to be able to walk together, the ones that I did, I chose my locations very carefully because I didn't want to be surprised by a dog and Vilya freak out. And that's the experience that my puppy is getting. So mm-hmm. walking your dog, you had mentioned walking the reactive dog with the stable dog. I'll also be asking those same people if I can walk my puppy with their stable dog so that they're having positive experiences in the world rather than potential reactions with my reactive dog. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dogs are social learners, and that is a lifelong thing for them. Almost every dog out there, if it's exposed to enough negative reactions, will start to become reactive itself. You know, we will see a deterioration in that dog's behavior. So yep. Even adult dogs, we want to limit how much we're putting on them as far as being exposed to reactivity, but especially important for puppies because their brains are still developing right up until they're about 2.5 years old. Yep. Very, very important. And that's a long commitment. So people with a reactive dog bringing home a puppy need to really be prepared to commit to separate training for the first couple of years or more.
Yeah, and it is really important. And yeah, I don't think people realize how long it is, but it is quite a long commitment where their brains are still developing and are going to be more sensitive and prone to that social learning that can happen. It can always happen, mm-hmm. but it's definitely very vulnerable through puppyhood and adolescence. So yeah, definitely.
Extra careful.
Make sure you have the time to commit to that. Because otherwise, like you said, you're just going to end up with more reactive dogs.
It can become a vicious cycle. I feel really bad for some people because they don't realize the damage that's happening. And then they end up in this vicious cycle. They bring a new dog home. It learns how to be reactive. And it sucks. It's nice to have a dog that you can just take anywhere and not worry about him barking at somebody or biting somebody or having a meltdown about something. It's really nice to have the stable dog. And I love my reactive dogs, but I wouldn't wish that on anyone.
Yeah.
Human or the dog, everyone suffers when we have to worry about where we go and how we go.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing kind of along that note is to make sure, even if it's an adult dog that you bring home, if your existing dog is reactive or resource guardy or extra cranky, we need to make sure that dog's social needs are being met somewhere else. So do make sure, start looking for people with nice, stable dogs. And I don't think puppies need to play with other puppies. Puppies need to play with stable adult dogs, or interact with them, not even necessarily play, depending on the puppy. But really, you know, make sure that you have some places. And I do not underline, bold, italicize that do not mean a doggy daycare.
Oh, God, no.
Especially if you have a reactive dog at home, you don't want your puppy thinking that other dogs are all a wrestling match. But you need to find some nice stable dogs to go for walks with, maybe have some chase games or wrestling games or whatever your dog likes, play with tug toys, that kind of stuff. But make sure that we have some appropriate social outlets for your puppy. Ideally, we can do it without, but I think that trying to meet our dog's social needs is part of ensuring that we're looking out for their welfare.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, especially if you are getting a puppy. Now, most puppies are going to be, not all of them, but a lot of puppies are curious and tend to want to interact with dogs a little bit. But I mean, especially if you're getting a dog that is just very obviously more social. So important that they're allowed to enjoy that part of themselves and get that meat.
I think that's everything on my list. Do you have anything you wanted to add to that, Darren?
Don't think so.
All right. Well, we'll wrap it up there. Yep. Enzo's telling me it's dinner time. It's about an hour.
I was like, it's not definitely not dinner time. Yeah.
No, it's an hour and 45 minutes early.